Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. For today's program, I would like to take a look at a timely lesson taught in the Old Testament historic books. Specifically, 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel sin. Now, before I draw any lessons from this text, I need to say a word about the application of these Old Testament texts. Because often the application of these Old Testament texts to our day is questioned. I mean, aren't we under the New Covenant now? Yes, we are, but the new covenant is for the church. Born-again people who are new creations in Christ. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And as far as earthly nations, we're here only on temporary assignment. On Sunday morning in my church, I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians. And to help the folks understand the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, I made a comparison between the message to the nation in the book of Jeremiah and the message to Christians in the book of Ephesians. In the Old Testament prophets, the message to the nation was one of rebuke and judgment. Just take one chapter, Jeremiah chapter 6. The prophet says to the people, "They cannot listen because the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. Their houses shall be turned over to others. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. Were they ashamed? They didn't even know how to blush. They didn't walk in the ancient paths. They wouldn't listen. As for God's law, they rejected it also. So behold, I'm going to lay a stumbling block before this people. All of them are stubbornly rebellious. In vain the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated." And every chapter is like this. And in chapter 14, verse 11, the Lord tells Jeremiah, don't even pray for the welfare of the people. Chapter 15, verse 1, even if Moses and Samuel would stand before me to intercede, my heart would not be with this people. Send them away from my presence. And the people shall ask, where shall we go? And you are to tell them, those destined for death, to death. God told them to go to death. I never saw this before, but God was in effect telling them to go to hell. Jeremiah 15, 6, I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. But now when we come to the New Testament, such as the book of Ephesians, we read something entirely different than the message of the prophets to an unsaved nation. The tone is different. The content is different. Because the New Testament is written to those who are new creations in Christ, those who are in the body of Christ, those who have the Spirit of God, those who are the beloved. The book of Ephesians begins by calling us saints, holy ones. Nowhere in the Old Testament are the people called holy ones. In the Old Testament, the only holy one is God. But now we are called holy. Because we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks of the great love which he has for us. Chapter 2, we've been made alive in Christ. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places, that God might show the surpassing kindness toward us. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The good status that the Old Testament prophets only prophesied would come in the future, is now ours. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. We fail to see the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And there has been a great change. We have a whole new status and standing with God. God doesn't even speak to us the same way as he spoke to physical, natural Israel. So, why would a New Testament Christian ever use the Old Testament in apologetic messages to nations today? Well, because the New Testament is for the church, And the Old Testament is the correction and condemnation of an unsaved world. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote that the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Galatians 3:24 and Romans 7:7. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. And Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Well, unsaved Gentile nations are under the law of God. And these Old Testament prophets not only spoke against the sins of Israel, but their prophecies contained oracles against the Gentile nations. We cannot apply Ephesians to America. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's not for America. That's for citizens in Christ's kingdom. That's God's mail to his people. If we apply that to America, it's like reading someone else's Valentine's Day card and thinking it's for you. What applies to the unsaved world is texts such as Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. How has a faithful city become a harlot? She who is full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Now, of course, we preach the gospel to individuals in a nation that they might become citizens of Christ's kingdom. But the unsaved nation is to hear the law and the standards of God as delineated by the Old Testament prophets. So all that to say that 2 Chronicles 10:31 is a timeless principle for our nation. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. So here's the lesson. Even though northern Israel, the country, experienced some reforms, there was a conservative swing in northern Israel under the reign of Jehu, the people did not truly return to God. And I hope every Christian realizes that although we have had some swings to the conservative right here in America, under Reagan, under Bush, and now that even the Senate and the Congress are under the control of conservatives, the nation is not truly returning back to God. But the nation is persisting in false, humanistic, secular ideology, as in the days of Jehu. He made some reforms, but he didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. Now, in understanding the meaning of that text, realize that this statement is repeated continually in regard to northern Israel. This phrase, did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. That phrase should sound familiar to you, because each of the kings of northern Israel were evaluated by the prophets in regard to their founding king, Jeroboam. He was a king who set an unrighteous example. 1 Kings 15. Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all of Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam and in the sins which he made Israel sin. 1 Kings 16:26, concerning Omri, for he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. 1 Kings 16:29, now Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and it came about that he walked in the sins of Jeroboam. 1 Kings 22, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father, and in the ways of his mother, and in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria, and he clung to the sins of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 13. Jehoaz became king over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 16 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 14, Jeroboam the second, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 15, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 15. Menahem became king over Israel. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 15:23. In the 15th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah became king over Israel and Samaria. He reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. 2 Kings 15:27. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, son of Ramallah, became king over Israel and Samaria. He reigned 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. 2 Kings 17, the sons of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them. You kind of get the point that Jeroboam was a bad actor, and every subsequent king was judged according to his imitation of Jeroboam. So while southern Israel, Judah, evaluated their king according to the positive example of David, so that in the historic books we read, the king either did right in the sight of the Lord like David, or he did not walk in the ways of David. In the northern kingdom, each king was evaluated according to the negative example, Jeroboam. Notice that each nation was evaluated based upon their founder and their founding principles. David was the standard in the south, the positive example. Jeroboam was the standard in the north, the negative example. Individuals and nations are judged based upon who they imitate or who they follow, their source of their worldview or their source of truth. So today, to help people understand the ideology or practice of any government, one might say a certain leader walked in the ways of Stalin and Marxism, or a certain leader walked in the ways of Robespierre of the French Revolution, or a certain leader walked in the ways of Jefferson and Madison, or in the ways of the Pilgrims. And the point is that there are different ideological worldviews that identify an administration. And in the days of ancient Israel, the way of Jeroboam was one of those ideologies. So what horrible thing did Jeroboam do that made him a perpetual example of evil? Well, after Jeroboam united the 10 northern tribes of Israel into their own nation and broke away from the 2 southern tribes, 1 Kings chapter 12, so King Jeroboam consulted and made 2 golden calves. And he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went up to worship before the one as far as Dan. King Jeroboam set up his own hybrid form of Jehovah worship for his northern kingdom. It had many of the same elements as Jehovah worship, but it was a mixture of pagan idolatry, and this became the official state religion of northern Israel. And the prophets of northern Israel, like Elijah and Elisha, spoke against this state-sponsored religion, its ideology, and its morals. Now, in reference to the kings of northern Israel, all continuing in the religion established by Jeroboam, I selected this one verse about Jehu. Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart, and he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. Before Jehu came to power in northern Israel, Ahab and Jezebel were on the throne. And they went far beyond the sins of Jeroboam and his hybrid form of Jehovah worship, and they brought in radical Phoenician Baal worship, child sacrifice, occultism. Jehu, one of Ahab's generals, was anointed by the prophet of God to be the next king over Israel. And Jehu, being a Jewish patriot, did not appreciate foreign Baal worship in Israel. And so we know the story. He had Jezebel thrown out of the tower to her death. He had the sons of King Ahab and his administration put to death at Jezreel. And he invited all the priests of Baal and all the worshipers of Baal to a great feast. He put them in one building, he locked the doors, and had them all killed. 2 Kings 10:28, thus Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. But God was not pleased with Jehu, because he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel sin. And in the next verse, in those days the Lord began to cut off portions from Israel, and Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel. Jehu swung the nation back toward a more conservative policy. His policies were far better than the gross immoralities and child sacrifice of Baal worship. But his watered-down, quasi-Jehovah worship was still unacceptable to God. The king still maintained a state religion that was in violation of the law of God. And even though Jehu brought in a conservative swing, northern Israel was not improved, and so economically, militarily, socially, northern Israel went into decline. From Jehu to the complete destruction of northern Israel was about 90 years. And the nation even went into decline after Baal worship was eradicated. Because here's the lesson. A more conservative policy or a more conservative religion is not good enough. It has to be God's policy, God's religion. Something very similar is written concerning southern Israel. Even though there were revivals under Hezekiah and Josiah, we read, but the high places were not removed. There were still pockets of idolatrous worship. And so southern Israel was eventually destroyed in the judgment of God. Even in the time when Israel outwardly looked religious and conservative. So here's the application. We're glad for political conservative swings in America. When America gets tax cuts, when an administration reverses some of the onerous, socialistic, bureaucratic policies of the previous administration. But even still, America is not reversing course. She is still maintaining her foundational sins. The secularization of America in the 20th century. The outlawing of the Bible in public schools. The funding of the religion of secularism in public schools and universities. Abortion, divorce, immorality, pornography in the land. When we read in the Old Testament a certain king, even a better king, did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam by which he made Israel sin, we should think of our own country and realize even in a conservative swing, things are not being made right before God. We're still continuing on the wrong foundation, the foundation of the secular state, where ethics and morals are not to be based upon theism, but utilitarianism and rationalism. And on that foundation, we will never return to either economic or social biblical morality. A number of years ago, there was a short Christian movie called Time Changers. It was put out by Rich Cristiano Films. And Christian films are known for being kind of hokey compared to Hollywood blockbusters. But I thought this little film was well done. It had in it Gavin McLeod, who used to play Murray on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Hal Linden from Barney Miller. And the film made one simple point. You can't have morality in society without Jesus Christ. A seminary professor from the 1890s began to veer away from biblical truth by teaching that social morals can be taught apart from Jesus Christ. Another professor from the science department tells him that he's wrong. He says, I've seen the future, and I've seen what happens to a nation when Jesus Christ is left out. The science professor puts the seminary professor in a time machine, takes him to the year 2000, and the seminary professor sees all the depravity in our day, and learns the lesson. A nation will not be moral without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, although that lesson was illustrated by a sci-fi movie looking into the future, that lesson is already given to us in biblical history. This was the message contained in these Old Testament books. The books of the Chronicles and the books of the Kings are an account of the moral depravity that results when a people abandon Jehovah God. And the message of the prophets was not to return to conservative policy, but to return to God. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, "If you will return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me." The social reforms of both some kings in the south and some kings in the north were not sufficient because the religion of the people was wrong. They never returned to a true Jehovah worship. The sin of Jeroboam was a religious apostasy. The moral failure came later as the natural byproduct. And America will not be healed unless the citizenship returns to a biblical Christian faith. A libertarian conservatism will not save America. I keep up with quite a few conservative sites and conservative podcasts. And many of these conservatives are very intelligent and they make great arguments. They are far more skilled than I, but they have no gospel. In fact, just last week, I noticed that a well-known conservative pundit said, "I do not speak from the Bible because not everyone takes the Bible as an authority." And that's a great mistake because it is assuming a society, apart from God, can come to morality and good governance. And that is as secular a philosophy as secular humanism itself. That a great nation can be built apart from the Word of God. The 20th century Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer once wrote, "We must remember that there are tremendous discrepancies between liberals and conservatives in the political arena, but if they're both operating on a humanistic basis, there will really be no final difference between them." So, by way of summation, in this biblical phrase, they did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. The Christians should be reminded that a national swing toward conservative policy will not save the nation. It's not enough. The people must return to God. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquities." Joel chapter 2, verse 12, "Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God." America needs a spiritual revival where many citizens become new people in Christ, born again, citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Then and only then will God bless America again. And this is why of first importance is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Feel free to email me with questions, comments, insights. You can visit my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. And there you'll find an extended version of this same program. That's godandcountryradio.org and God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube. And again, thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to not confuse the chaff with the wheat, not mistake the band-aid of conservatism for the transforming, healing power of a nation embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.